Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks for listening so much to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this Tuesday. This is a forum for folks who are interested in the intersection of depth psychology, Jungian psychology, that is working with archetypes, working with the stories we tell ourselves in our lives, the stories that hold energy for us, and figuring out what those stories are and what they look like. When we do that, we're able to live our life with elasticity, fluidity, grace, and we're able to tell stories differently. It's also about connecting with our intuition, connecting with your deep inner voice, so that your life can reflect that the things that are part of who you are on an authentic level. So if those subjects are interesting to you, I'm so glad that you're here tonight to listen to our conversation. This show, often we have folks on the show who are people who have listened to that deep inner voice and who have done things because of the calling that they felt inside. Often we have folks on the show who are metaphysical practitioners of one stripe or another. I just encourage you to enjoy the show. I'm going to get our guest on in just a second here, but I do want to introduce what's coming up on Inner Voice in the future. On November 13th, Ellen Siegel will be here. For CBUS folks, Ellen Siegel is a psychotherapist, and she works with a heart connection. I believe her business is called Heart Centered Therapy, and she has just written a book on happiness and how to unconditionally be happy in the world, and how to develop a sense of gratitude and grace in our lives. So I'm really excited to have her here on the 13th. And then with no further ado, I have Gary C. Heron on tonight. Gary, are you there? Hello? Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. We did have Gary C. Heron on, I do believe. I'm not quite sure what happened. Hang on, and we will try to get him on again and see what's going on with that. And hopefully we'll be able to get him on. Sometimes there's some glitches on Blog Talk, so we'll just have to see what is going on with this. Thanks so much for listening and for holding on the line while I try to get him back. Well, let's see here. Let me see if I can call him. I am going to just know that I am trying to get the guest on the line here in a minute, and I'm going to try and give him a call and see if I can go that route. And thanks so much for listening. Okay.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Hi there. So I'm going to try once more to get the guest on the line. Hi, Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Cool. I'm not sure if you could hear me or not. I'm not sure what happened there, but I'm glad that you're here now.
I could hear you briefly, but that's about all.
Yeah, I was just introducing the other guests and then getting ready to get you on, and then I think maybe you hung up, and then I hung up to try to call you, but then your number wasn't on. So anyway,
all right, here we are.
Sometimes it's Yeah, sometimes this happens with Blog Talk, but I'm glad that you're on, and I'm so happy that you took the invitation to be on the show. Thanks so much, and looking forward to chatting with you and all of that.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry about the glitch there in the beginning.
That's all right.
But I just want to introduce folks to Gary. Gary is a practicing Wiccan, and he is involved in many metaphysical things. He is a high priestess of Wiccan, the Wiccan religion, and he is a shaman. And he's just going to talk a little bit with us about that, about what that looks like for him. And I want to ask you, Gary, one of the things that I always ask folks who are on the show is, you know, this is a little bit off the beaten path. And I wonder, do you did this find you, this journey and this path, or did you find it? How would you describe your journey?
Well, I've always been interested, even as a young child, in the occult. Okay, and especially metaphysics of any kind. And after, in growing up out in the country, in a country setting and everything, I was always very close to nature. And Wicca is nature religion. So when I got to my 20s, I had been a practicing Methodist, thanks to my mother and father. And I was dissatisfied with the answers that I wasn't getting from that church. So I went on a quest to find out, where do I belong as far as spirituality goes? And I went to Jewish synagogues, and I went to Orthodox Christian churches, and just a smattering. I even checked into some Quaker religions and stuff, you know, friends, those types of religions. And I got invited to a pagan gathering, spiritual gathering one time, and when I went there, it was like, gee, I just came home. These people actually love one another, and they're actually communicating with one another.
Very cool, very cool. And what age were you when you did that?
I would say I was probably in my early 20s. And I really stepped on the path in 1981. So I've been on this path for 30 years or a little bit better now.
I think it's so cool that you listened and that you checked out all different spiritual paths before you hit on this one, and you know, and were open enough to do that and to go on that journey and to find the right fit. I think that takes courage, especially when a lot of times we're given a certain, you know, set of rules about what our spirituality or what our religion is supposed to look like, and it's so easy to just kind of get stuck there, and it's great that you said, nope, this isn't for me, and I'm going to explore other things. So what drew you about the Wiccan religion? And I know that there's a distinction between just being like a solitary practicing witch and being a Wiccan, and can you just kind of flesh out that that distinction for folks who are listening?
Oh, sure. Wicca is, like I said before, I was very close to nature, and I think that's what drew me to paganism, okay? Mm-hmm. Paganism encompasses all different earth spirituality paths, okay, whether you be Native American or a shaman or whatever, okay? But a pagan isn't always a Wiccan, okay? Mm-hmm. A Wicca is always a pagan, you see.
Okay.
Right? And I think what happened with me was once I found out that this was a nature religion, it was back to the elements of fire, water, earth, and air, and the uppermost point in our pentagram, and I'll explain that a little later, is spirit.
Sure.
And that's where I was really headed towards with all my occult interests and metaphysical interests, is getting back to spirit or the Godhead.
Very
so,
cool.
Go ahead.
One.
Okay.
Did you have an experience of... you said coming home. So did you have an experience where there were other things about working with earth, air, fire, and water that spoke to you before you realized that you really wanted to be on a Wiccan path?
I just felt comfortable, okay? I felt comfortable with the working tools, the people, the conversation. I just felt very comfortable with the whole thing, as opposed to going to a specific church and sitting in the same spot each week and so on and so forth. This was a type of freedom okay, to express myself in conjunction with the elements. Okay.
Right.
Which are very powerful. I mean, you know, we're in the process of riding out a little storm here. Okay.
Yeah.
And you have to look at this.
A lot of air energy. And
water. And this energy is like, you know, don't be afraid of it, because this is Mother Earth going through her natural changes. Okay.
Right.
And it's very powerful. People don't realize the power in water or wind, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's the freedom of being able to actually work with those elements and explore those avenues is what really drew me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a rather strong affinity for working with the four sacred elements myself. And on my own journey, that was probably the thing that drew me the most, because I do intuitive tarot, and I work with the four sacred elements with that. And I really, when I started to learn tarot, instead of like going to the books, what I did was went out and communed with the elements and asked them to speak to me about what the four glyphs in the tarot were about. So I definitely have a calling toward the four sacred elements and working with them as well.
Okay.
So.
I'm a tarot reader myself, and I incorporate a lot of that element, what you're talking about there, in my readings too. You know, if I see that, you know, for instance, wands being fire, okay, and energy, you know, for someone, you know, hey, there's a lot of fire around you. There's a lot of activity, you know.
Exactly.
And, so, yeah, I understand exactly what you mean. We must be doing the intuitive tarot readings both at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful when people use the four sacred elements in the tarot. It's sometimes a less taught system than just using the glyphs like pentacles and wands and that sort of stuff. I just had a lady on the show about a month ago who just wrote a book, Christiana Gaudet. And she also, or Godot, and she also works with the four sacred elements. So I always love it when I have guests on that work a lot with the elements, because I think they're so, you know, you can get such nuanced readings by using different lenses to look at the tarot, and one of my favorites is the four sacred elements.
Right. You see, even back in the Paleolithic times, our great our ancestors, and this is a time of year, this Halloween, is the time when we revere our ancestors. They looked at the forces of nature, like storms and lightning and stuff like that, as gods. Okay, they were actually living beings to them. Okay, and if they would look at a tree and say, gee, a tree spirit must look like that tree, then God must look like us.
Right, right.
That
enables people to feel connected with nature. I think now we are so disconnected from nature. You know, we have technology that, you know, satisfies our every tiny little need. And we feel like we're not dependent on nature. And then I think a storm like this comes up and says, no. You still are dependent on nature. You still do need to work in consort and have, you know, have a sense of honor of working with nature instead of this disconnect, which our culture seems to reinforce so much.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It's a shame. You know, I hate to see anybody suffer, you know, through a hurricane like this is going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
But if they would embrace that energy and work with it, they'd find out that it's something that they gave themselves before they even came into this lifetime, and it makes for a delicious life experience.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think, too, that they wouldn't be so resistant to the experience of the extreme elements. They'd know how to work energetically with it and how to work spiritually with it so that it wasn't so catastrophic.
Yeah,
you know?
Rather than buy into the idea, and it is an idea of fear.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think it makes you appreciate, you know, our ancestors more to realize that when we were indigenous nature-based culture, we had to rely on our understanding of the elements in order to survive. You know, we had to figure out where high water was and where there were areas that, you know, where the ground was a different density. And all of those kinds of experiences of working with the elements mirrors our own own experiences of who we are. So when we're like very water-based, we're very emotional, but we also have this ability to yield or to push against something and to shape it. So like we are like these elements, you
mm-hmm.
know, and the more that we appreciate that, the more we can not be afraid of them when they show up. Even
that's
in
right.
their most extreme forms.
That's right. And to utilize them, too. Say you're having an emotional period, and we all go through
yeah.
that. We all have our blues yeah. and our blue days and everything. But maybe it's
true.
A case of being needed to be grounded. So you call on your earth
yeah.
element to ground yourself a little bit, you know, so that you're not so weepy, you know. And that's
yeah.
that's really the working with those elements, you know, aside from the actual physical fire, water, earth, and air.
Yeah, no,
those.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
What else were you going to say? Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I get rolling here, and I don't know when to quit
oh,
talking.
Good.
So go
no,
ahead and ask your question.
I've got an hour, so keep going. Well, I was just going to say, I do a lot of intuitive counseling with folks, and our methodology about counseling, at least in the West, is so pharmacologically based, evidence-based, and it's so based on this idea of psychopathology. But really, if you look at it through an elemental lens, you can have more appreciation for these different states that we go through, like fire and water. Fire is very motivating and very extreme and very intuitive and very potential oriented. And water is very, you know, emotionally based, and you can go deep, but sometimes when you get into the water energy, you lack good boundaries and things. So I think that you give people tools if you go to this place where they understand that it's about balancing the elements within themselves instead of, you know, slapping them with a label, like saying, you know, you've got like dysthymia and you're totally depressed and this is what you need to take
right.
for it.
There's a big resurgence of clinical psychology going on in this country. And
mm-hmm.
it's masked over by a lot of pharmaceuticals. Okay?
Right.
So
right.
when this person comes to you and by the book, okay, they'll say, well, Mary Jo is having this issue, this issue, and this issue. First of
right.
all, we got to get her on some kind of drugs here, okay,
right.
and stable her out, and then maybe we'll go by the book and we'll try to figure out what's going on with her. But what they
right.
really need to do is find out just what's going on with Mary Jo, you see.
Right.
You know, what's happened with her? What's going on there? And when you go back to the elements, you'll find out that there's so much fire. She's got so much fire going on that she
yes.
needs to ground herself, or she needs to,
yes.
you know, add a little of this or a little of that, you know.
Yes.
Maybe she needs to breathe.
Yes.
That's
needs
air.
To channel that creative energy so that
mm-hmm.
it doesn't get stuck in those places that are angry or frustrated. Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's such a much better way to work with people because it empowers them and helps them grow toward their understanding of each other in terms of the elements
right.
instead of disempowering them. And so yeah. often, you know, it can be disempowering to just
right.
have a label that's like a, you know, a pathology, which really it's about how you work with anything. It's
mm-hmm.
about, I know you know this because you're a shaman and you practice paganism. It's about how you use tools, you know?
Right. Well,
so.
One of the things going back to Wicca, okay, in our
yes.
particular tradition is
mm-hmm.
our biggest thing is knowing yourself. Okay?
Yes.
And we spend a lot of time in self-examination in this mm-hmm. particular temple. Okay, this is the temple of Wicca and it's Coven One Spirit. And we mm-hmm. spend a lot of time with knowing yourself and finding out, okay, who am I?
Yes.
All right. And getting down to that core thing. Once you find out that, you can ask yourself, okay, you know, gee, who knows? Who am I that knows?
Mm-hmm.
Because deep down inside, you already know what you need and you know who you are.
Yeah.
So who's asking
yeah.
the question? Who's the knower? You
yeah.
see, now you're getting in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're connecting with the God force.
Yes,
and that's
and
what
you,
our temple
when,
is about.
And
go
when
ahead.
You say that, who is the knower, what would you say to someone who's just, like, exploring this topic for the first time? Who is the knower to you, Gary?
Mm-hmm. The knower is pure consciousness,
uh-huh.
pure spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Everybody is unique, okay, but we're all one.
Right.
And that's it's kind of a paradox. It's a duality that we live in this world of ours. But we gave it to ourselves in order to have contrast, in order to learn the lessons that we need to learn about good and bad, white and black, so on and so forth. Okay.
Right.
But it's all an illusion. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The real thing behind anybody is pure consciousness. We're here
yeah.
to learn. We're here
yeah,
to know
absolutely.
Ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think that when we have, a religion like Wicca or a nature-based religion or working with the chakras or these sorts of things, we're encouraged to step out of that place of who we think we should be and move into that place of the authentic self, which is, I think, what you're talking about when you're talking about this pure pure spirit that we all have inside of us, you know.
Yeah. And going back to what we started with this conversation is I wanted to be an authentic witch, okay?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean I'm better than anybody else. I'm just different, okay?
Right.
And the difference is profound in the fact that I wanted to be authentic, okay? I really wanted to walk the talk.
Uh-huh.
And we only have one law in our religion. I don't know if your listeners are aware of that, but our only law that we have is, and it harm none, do what ye will. It means that you have the whole entire universe at your fingertips. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, including yourself, then do it. Experience it. Be it.
That's
become
wonderful.
It. Okay.
That's
and then we have a few tenets that we try to keep in alignment, okay?
Uh-huh.
Tenets like the tenet of harmony or the tenet of trust or humility or tolerance or learning and reincarnation. These tenets keep us in, you know, on the path, so to speak. And it is a very long path, and it is a very wide path, okay, that has a lot of divergence. You can get off and you can go read tarot, or you can run over here and you can do shamanism, or you can run over here and you can do crystal gazing, okay? But as long as you're staying on the main path, okay, then you come out the other side an enlightened being. And that's what we're all here on this planet and on this earth plane to do, is become enlightened beings and take all our information back to the God source.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that's, you know, true Wicca is what that's about.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I think that Wicca, I believe that Wicca just means bent. Is that right? That's what I have read, that it means bent. So it means not straight, like going bent, going in a different way or on a different journey, which is all about listening to yourself, you know. It's about seeing who you really are as opposed to being this kind of carbon copy, you know.
Right. That's it. You're a unique individual as part of the one.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
So what else would you like to know about Wicca?
Well, and so on your journey, are you part of a coven?
Yes.
Gary,
I started out as a solitary, learning by myself, and I found that I needed a teacher. And I was living at the time in northeastern Ohio, and there just wasn't any teachers around at that time up there. So I ended up moving to Columbus, and I found a teacher who lived just off campus there at OSU. And she became my first teacher for about 2.5 years. But I realized that she didn't have some of the answers that I was looking for. I wanted to get into the meat or the real, you know, let's find out what this is all about, really, okay? And she was a good gate, okay, in order to step onto the path. And it wasn't too much longer after that I found my current teacher and high priestess. And it took me 14 years to get through her methods of study. And I'm the only male that ever actually got all the way through all the study and everything.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
So I'm very proud of that.
Well, and when you become, do you become an officiant? Is that how it works? And then you study with a particular mentor within the coven, and then do you become a priest? Or how does that work? I know it works differently in different kinds of covens. How does it work in your situation, Gary?
Well, it is different traditions, you know, have different ways of teaching. In my tradition, it was female handed down to male. She made me, she was a high priestess and trained me to be a high priest. Okay. And in turn, I will probably take, you know, I have and I will in the future take on other young women, okay, to train. You see, so it's almost like handed down male, female, so on and so forth. Okay, and it's not that I wouldn't take on a male student if I had to or anything, but it seems like just because of the gender there, there's a better communication sometimes with teaching.
I know there's different strains of Wicca. There's like Gardnerian. There's different schools of Wicca, and I know that some of them, there's a Dianic tradition, which is just women, but it's very interesting to me that your particular tradition is honoring the masculine and the feminine, and that there's this interplay between the way that people are taught, so that women teach men and then men teach women.
Right.
I think that's really wonderful.
Yeah. Like I said before, there's a duality to all things, okay? We believe in God and Goddess, okay? This is a matriarchal religion, even though, you know, we have duality in our gods and goddesses, and there's many pantheons. And then there's one initiator, okay, which is the creative spirit above that, you see, which is genderless.
Right, right. It's, I'm thinking Jungian language, they call that the contrasexual energy. Like energy that's part masculine and part feminine and kind of transcendental.
Right, the alpha and the omega.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
See, our particular tradition is very eclectic. We pull from all different kinds of pantheons in order to do the work that we need to do. We may incorporate in one of our rituals all Greek and then have an Egyptian ending. Or, you know, we may do something just totally, you know, Celtic. And just, you know, and then the next ritual we'll do something, you know, we incorporate some cosmic prayers and stuff like that. So we're very eclectic and we're very open to learning in this.
Very cool.
So.
And do you do much creative work? Do you do like art therapy kind of things and that sort of thing in order to find symbols that are meaningful for you, or how does that work?
Well, I'm an artist too, besides all the other things that I do, and I make walking sticks and medallions and amulets.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so my creative juices come out that way, and I do a lot of symbolism and, and things incorporate that in my artwork. So, but as far as the group, you know, sometimes we do, we get together and we play, you know, and then we see where it comes out, or we make music together, you know, and see how that comes out, you know. So we're open to everything, you know, and if that's creative expression and it helps us to understand ourselves better and express ourselves better, then we're all for it.
Awesome. And how many people are in your coven? How many people are practicing in it?
Well, that's a good one. Okay. We're down to three now.
Okay.
Okay. I have, there's myself, my high priestess, Lady Maya, and my other high priestess, Lady Ebony Alara. And I'm Lord Siege Jedi. And everybody else that has come down the path, they've found out we have a five-step system. We have dedicant, neophyte, first, second, and third degrees. And once they find out, they get past Dedekind and they get into Neophyte, now you're starting to get into the meat of everything. A lot of them can't handle the workload, and so they go screaming into the night. They just
Is it more like inner work, like kind of meeting yourself and noticing synchronicities and working with archetypes or symbols, or is it outer work? Is it reading certain books and having to write?
It's a little bit of both. Because we require reports to be done, okay, about certain topics or certain authors or whatever. There is a great book list to be read, and it's a lot of old school books, okay. You may only, through a book of, say, like Aleister Crowley, you may even go and get one little bit of information from that book. The rest of it is just mindless, okay? But that's what we wanted you to get, is that one little piece of information, okay? There's that to do, plus just all the different topics, okay? Say astral projection or hypnosis or whatever. There's a great many topics. And the workload, besides the ritual work and the introspection, all three of them together, is like it gets tough. It's like going to college. And now you know
Wow.
why it took me 14 years to get through everything.
So do you, the coven that you're in, do they practice just in the Columbus area, or is it national or international? And where does all this studying come from? Is it a body of work that someone else tells you you need to fulfill in order to be an officiant, or how does all that work?
Right. We have a huge manual, okay,
mm-hmm.
and then we require our students to have a book of shadows of all our rituals and ritual work and spells and so on and so forth, you know, that they may have gathered for themselves or whatever. We practice in a temple room. We're in New Straitsville, Ohio, which is in Wayne National Forest.
Oh, wow, well, uh-huh.
And we have, like I said, we have our own temple room, so, and also our own library. So we have probably, maybe 2,000 books in our library, all totaled. So,
yeah.
You know, they can, some of them are rare that you, we don't want them taken out of the coven stead,
sure.
And then there's other ones that they can borrow, like interlibrary loan kind of thing. And they can take them home and study them and bring them back and do the reports and so on and so forth.
Very cool, very
yeah.
cool. And so it takes 14 years to get to the place where you are a priest or a priestess
right.
that's had your full ranking.
It took me 14 years. Now, I won't say, you know, that I was nose to the grindstone the entire way, okay, but someone that's really dedicated and has the time and commitment to do it could maybe knock it out in 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
there's just
there
so much to learn, okay.
Is there a lot to cover? Do you cover, like, all the different spiritual traditions, and you have to know? Just tell me more, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't,
we have, have comparative religion classes,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
we will get into Hindu, and we will get into Buddhist, and we will get into just a variety of different comparative religions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has a working knowledge of what's out there as far as the spiritual realm go. How does a Mormon, okay, contact his creator? Okay,
wow.
What do they
uh-huh.
do? What type of rituals do they do? What are their practices? Okay, so we do have a good creative religion. Okay,
very cool.
Okay.
And then can you go in the direction that you want to go in? Like, some people will excel in a shamanic kind of practice. Some people will excel in tarot. Some people excel in, I don't know, runic, the runes and the runic alphabet.
And that's what happened to me. I'll tell you my
mm-hmm.
little story here. Once I got into being a high priest and everything, all of a sudden, some really strange things started happening to me. Animals would start appearing to me. I would come out of work, and there'd be this red-tailed hawk sitting there in the branch just staring at me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there'd be crows, and then crow is one of my totems. And, you know, just a variety of different things. And all of a sudden, it was like Wicca was sort of going one way, and shamanism was coming in the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started really getting into a lot of book learning and a lot of practice of shamanism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I came to find out by talking to other shamans that a Wicca high priest is a shaman, because we're basically, if you get into the understanding of core shamanism, okay, Wicca, being an earth-based spirituality, here once
mm-hmm.
again, okay, is doing a lot of the things that shamans do. Okay,
mm-hmm.
with journeying, you know, drums and rattles
sure.
and so on and so forth. Well, heck, we're doing that already. You see?
Right, sure.
So I was just sort of fine-tuning that by getting some of the book learning and whatever. And I guess I would call myself a Gnostic shaman, because Wicca
mm-hmm.
is the learned ones. They have all the rituals and the book learning and so on and so forth, okay? But it's like, you know, I got combined the two all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I call myself a shaman, too. You know, it's like I can do, you know, journeys and so on and so forth in order to help people, okay, along
mm-hmm.
their paths. And that's
very,
some of the work that I do.
Very cool. Very cool. Neat. Huh. And you do tarot, you do intuitive tarot, you said, and you also
mm-hmm.
practice the shamanic stuff.
Right.
And you make these wonderful staffs. And
mm-hmm. wands and staffs and walking sticks and conjure sticks and all sorts of symbols on them and just different things and just be creative with them.
Very cool.
Go ahead.
Do you just use like a Dremel tool, and is that how you do?
Yeah, I do hand carved. I paint. I just do a little bit of everything with them. Mm-hmm. I use Dremel. I just use a lot of what I can get my hands on. Okay.
Do you have a website?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So people can hear and look it up. And
okay, it's SiegeGeni, SiegeGeni, at WordPress.com.
Awesome. Very cool.
And they can check out my stuff there and all my different services and whatever. I'm also a metaphysical speaker. I can speak on a variety of different metaphysical topics if they like.
Wonderful.
And I like to teach, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that, you know, after you found this path and worked so hard to know everything that you know and to go through all the process, you want to bring other people into it and so they can experience this connection with nature, too. And, I mean, that's wonderful.
Right.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, what else do you want to share about what it is you do?
Okay, well, one of the things I wanted to hit on is
sure.
How, since we're so close to Halloween, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, that's where I was headed, actually. That's funny.
It's also, you know, it looks like Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people out there have them, you know, misquote that all the time. It's called Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's October 31st, and it's the witch's new year. A lot of people don't understand that. And this is a time when our beloved ones who have gone from this world return to celebrate with us. It's the end of the harvest season, and all growing ceases for the year. And this is the time when the veil between this world and the next world is very thin. And so that's when we go, use some of our skills to do scrying, and we contact our ancestors. And we commune with them, and we party with them, and just, you know, invite them to spend time with us. We'll do spirit boards and, just try to communicate with our lost loved ones that have gone on before.
Is a spirit board like a Ouija board, or
yeah.
What is a spirit board?
Oh. Yeah, a spirit board would be something that you could make for personal, okay? You could put anything on that you would want, yes, no, maybe, so on and so forth, your different runes that you like or whatever. Or you can use a Ouija board. And there's different other boards out there that you can use, you know, and we get together on Halloween night and we light some candles and incense and have a little bit of food, and we try to contact our loved ones who've gone on before onto the other side.
Awesome. And how do you know that you've done that adequately? Like what are you looking for in that process?
I think what it is the satisfaction of just that connection with those beings that have done the work and gone on, and their energy is still floating around, okay? And just being able to say, you know, hey, I tried to contact Grandma, because Grandma had lots of love to her, okay? And that love is still here, you see, okay?
Yeah.
Well, Grandpa taught me how to carve wood, so I still carve wood, you know, my wood walking stick, so, you know, that spirit's still around here somewhere, you know? And I think that's the satisfaction of trying to contact any being on the other side. And
so it's like a time of remembrance.
Pardon me?
It's a time of remembrance and connecting with those energies. And do you know, like, that you've done that because you feel a stronger connection, or do you, I mean, how does that work for you?
Well, I live in an 1880s bed and breakfast style house, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a 14-room house, and
mm-hmm.
It's a ghost house. Let's put
mm-hmm.
it right out there, okay? And we get wrappings and stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We also have spirits that brush past us. We get a cold chill, you know, and we have someone that will brush past us, and it's, you know, kind of freaky a little bit, you know, but that gives us the indication that, hey, you know, something's going on here. You know, we're tapping into these energies on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's because that veil is so thin at this time of the year that we're able
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
See, like
awesome.
At summer solstice, when the air is hot and thick, it's much more difficult, okay, to try to get onto the other side. At this time of year, it's getting chilly out.
I love that metaphor. I love that idea. I mean, I've actually even written in stories about that idea of the wind as being an apparition or an energy, but the way you describe it as being a byproduct of the season is really lovely. I really like that idea.
Yeah, it's very nice, and I love this time of year, too, because my birthday's coming up in a few days, too. I'm a Scorpio.
Very cool.
And it's just a nice time of year for me. I love the fall, and I love the crispness of the air when you come out on a nice morning, you know, when the sun's out and it's all frosty, and
yeah.
It's just a nice time of year for me.
Awesome. Very cool. So what would you say to people who say that, and this is probably really, really rudimentary, but what do you say to people who say that Halloween is a time that is, you know, dangerous or demonic? Or what do you say to naysayers who say there really is good and there really is evil and this is a time where you can connect with energies that you can't control? What would you say to someone like that?
I would say that you're probably right. Okay,
uh-huh.
There is good and evil in the world, but it's about your intent. Okay,
yes.
What's your intent when you light this candle or you do this rite or whatever, okay? What's your intent when you think those thoughts?
Right.
Okay,
right.
And just thoughts are things, okay? So
right.
If you're going to think bad, well, what's going to come to you is bad. And
right.
As far as controlling anything, you know, it's like, you know, you're playing with fire because there are entities out there, there are energies out there that you really would not want to meet in a dark alley, so to speak, okay?
Right.
Why would you want to play with those?
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know,
think about
so
these
it's really about
when
the intent.
When I watch something like, I think I watched a couple episodes of that Ghost Adventure show or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and they were trying to get these entities to come out by kind of pissing them off,
mm-hmm.
basically, and I was like, that's really dumb, you know? I mean, why would you even want to do that? I mean,
yeah, well, be careful
so,
what you ask for. You just might get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they were like teenage boys who were mad or something, and they were like, I have a tattoo. I know you don't like tattoos. And I was like, oh, my God.
A lot of those reality shows like that is very interesting. What they're banking on is people's fear.
Yeah.
Okay. So they generate a sense of fear, and you know, it's like, okay, so you like to be afraid.
Right.
Okay, that's just the bottom line. You like to be afraid. All right. Think about that. That's a negative emotion, fear.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So why do I want to go there? It has been said that
right.
a witch fears nothing. Okay. Well, that's a lot of bunk because there's a lot of things I'm afraid of. But I don't invoke it, you see.
Exactly.
I don't bring it upon myself. I say, okay, I'm afraid, I swallow, and I get on with the dance. Okay, but I don't invoke it for the pleasure of being afraid and invoking more fear.
I get people in my tarot class who are all worried about how to work with their deck and could somebody else touch their deck, and I'm like, it's totally up to you. If you feel like you can, you know, clean the energies of your deck and keep your deck in intention where you want it to be, then let anybody hold it. You know, I mean, that's about you and how you feel about the interaction. And I think a lot of people kind of cloak some of this metaphysical talk in this idea that, like, they have to keep everything so clean and so pure. But if their intention is that it's going to be that way,
mm-hmm.
then you don't have to go through all this rigmarole, you know?
Right.
You
it's
say,
nice to keep your
I feel
crystals.
Okay about how you're holding my deck.
Yeah. It's nice to keep your crystals clean,
yes.
okay? But, you know, they're going to be self-cleansing on their own.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. People are funny that things that they the things they imbue with power. It's like imbue yourself with power. Then
that's
you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. You
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, it's comical sometimes to watch some of these reality shows. You know, and it's just they're running around and it's everything's black and white. You know, and it's creepy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? I've got places in my house that are creepy. You know.
Yeah.
You know, so what?
Exactly. Well, and it's what you bring to the situation. Like yesterday I was watching this movie, that Bag of Bones movie or whatever, and it wasn't actually that scary. It was right around the holidays, and I like to watch spooky movies. So I thought, well, I'll watch this thing. Mm-hmm. And I was scared because my partner was out of town, and I was in the house alone. And, you know, you can start to see, like, the air take on some sort of form, and you can get really, really scared if you want to. Or you can just say, you know, I'm not going to buy into this fear-based way of being, you know.
Only
so,
a movie, yeah.
Exactly.
We were watching Vincent Price in House of Wax the other night. And there's the creepy scene where he's in the street chasing the girl through the street, you know, and it's just this creepy guy, you know. And just, you know, that's made the whole movie, but that's the intent behind it, you know. And you have to think, okay, yeah, there are creepy guys running around the streets like that, you know, but it's just a movie, you know.
Exactly.
Just have fun with it and let it go.
Exactly. I think people can become so literal in their interpretation of things. I think especially right now in our culture, we're experiencing this drawing up of lines of good and evil and black and white and these sorts of things. And it is all fear-based on either side. And it's just so interesting because as people are doing that, they're ascribing energies more power than they even should be ascribed, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, so things are more scary than they even need to be.
That's it.
So.
That's it. And, you know, it really comes back to everything you learned in kindergarten still applies today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you were a child, what everybody wanted for you was to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's like, then be happy. You
shouldn't
have to have such a big sales job. You know, letting people know, you know what, you can be happy at any time. It's a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You see, you know, and it's like, okay, you want to be wealthy or you want to have love in your life or if you want to have success, okay? These things are all available to you right now, and it's about a choice. And most people want to wallow in the negativity of being a victim. Okay, and it's like then 10 years later, they're sitting on the edge of their bed saying, why is my life a mess? Well, you made some choices. Make some new choices.
Right, exactly. I think it's so, tarot can be so powerful that way because it's based on archetypes, which are based on these stories that we tell ourselves about who we can be. And if we tell the stories with clarity and with awareness and are empowered in the stories we tell, we don't have to tell the backstory again and again and again about the bad things that have happened.
Right. And a special note to all the women out there that are listening. You know, I'm a great advocate of women's empowerment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Girls, you don't have to take it. You don't have to be weak. There's this stigma in this country and in actually the world where women are put down, you can't get an education, you can't do this, and it's like it's bogus, okay?
Yeah.
Be a woman. Be a good being, a human being, okay? And empower yourself any way you can, and it starts with be happy.
Exactly.
Believe me, just by being happy, you'll piss off so many people, and especially men, because they won't understand why is she so happy. Okay.
Well, I think that's this fear-based thing, too, because if you look at the divine feminine and the actual power that women have to give birth and to connect with nature and these sorts of things, I think that some men, not all men, of course, but in our patriarchal culture feel disempowered by that, and so they have to take something away instead of joining into this larger energy that is that transcends the masculine and feminine, and that is really this contrasexual energy that is about the potential.
Yeah, and we can both be powerful.
Absolutely.
That's one thing that I liked about Wicca too was the equality.
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot of, like you mentioned, Dianic, okay? I'm all for Dianic. I think women ought to have time to themselves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't exclude the masculine and call it Wicca. Just like there's a lot of gays out there that have gay covens and everything. You can't exclude the feminine, okay, and call yourself Wicca.
Right. I do think there's a certain stage in people's life, though, where they gain power from being around energy that is like energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that developmentally, but I don't necessarily think it's a great place to stop and stay.
Right.
Is what I would say about that. So, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But I think that if it helps people gain more clarity and more awareness and more uniqueness about what their individual path looks like, that can only be a good thing. So.
Right, right.
Awesome, very cool. Well, we just have about 4 more minutes, but I want to make sure everybody knows where to get a hold of you for your intuitive readings and for all of the work that you do. And also, if you want to give the information about your coven for folks who might be interested in exploring that path as well, that would be the time to do that.
Okay. My email address is shaman, S-H-A-M-A-N, 2020, at AOL.com. And my website, again, and you can contact me through the website, is SigeGeni, S-I-G-E-J-E-N-I, at WordPress.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And then if they're interested in studying more about Wicca, what are some good resources, I guess?
Someone who would be studying Wicca to get into
it? Yeah, somebody wanted to get a hold of
The first thing to do is read. Get your hands on anything you can out there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's old school or new school, get your hands on it and just study it and get into it, okay? And then meet some people, rub some elbows with the people that are up the path from you a little bit. See if you can find a teacher, a mentor, or whatever. I'll be glad to talk to anybody, okay, about the subject of Wicca or witchcraft or whatever. I'm here to advise people, you know, and help them down their paths. But the main thing is get a hold of as much information as you possibly can and get into it. Get into it with
awesome.
Joy and desire in your heart and have a passion about it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
That's my best advice.
That's great advice. Well, I want to thank you so much for spending the hour with Inner Voice and for sharing all this wisdom and great ideas about, you know, getting in touch with authentic empowerment and your practice of Wicca and all of that. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. It was very nice to talk to you, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, let's plan to do that.
All right. Well, blessed be to you, and happy Halloween.
To you as well. Have a great evening, Gary.
You too. Blessed
Take
be.
Care. Blessed be. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. Please share your shiny picture on the page and follow the show so that you can find out what we're doing in the future. Thanks for bearing with us at the very beginning of the show when we were having technical difficulties. And thanks so much to our guest, Gary Harris. Have a great evening, everybody. Whatever you do, go make magic, feel magic, create magic, inspire magic in each other, because that's what we're here for. Have a great evening. Take care, folks.